Seated. And please open up your scriptures to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 5 through 15. Matthew 6 is within the Sermon on the Mount. It's a fascinating sermon as it is the divine Son coming down here to earth and tell his covenant people on how to relate with their living God. Tells us how to circumcise our heart, to get rid of the greed and the lust out of our heart. How we should love our enemies. And it also talks about how we should have a covenant dialogue with our God. Please listen to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. May God bless the reading of his word to our heart. In Isaiah 11, we heard a wonderful promise. It says the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the water covers the sea. That promise is also repeated similarly in Habakkuk 2. Where it says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water covers the sea. Imagine with me what that would look like when the people of God get so consumed with knowing their God, and it happens throughout the whole land, so that as the water covers the sea, every particle of our society knows the Lord and his authority. It seems so foreign to our culture here today, but we may be able to see a glimpse of it back in the 1730s, which some church historians call the Great Awakening. During that time, there was such a great revival here in America, in England, in Scotland, in Wales, that hundreds came to know the Lord. There were so many people that came to know God and filled the churches that they had to extend the existing chapels and build new ones. Charles Wesley once had to record that his congregation was smaller by thousands or maybe even 2,000 because they went down the street to hear George Whitefield. Imagine that. Two large congregations of thousands of sincere believers. During this time, Whitfield said that there was no end of the people flocking to hear God's word. Others said those who were foremost in wickedness and rebellion are now among the foremost in seeking for mercy and salvation in the blood of the Lamb. It's what one pastor said, his whole congregation, which numbers in hundreds of inhabitants, was profoundly moved as quarrels, swearing, drunkenness, and all other characteristics of worldliness gave way to visible confessions of wrong, restitution, remorse, and prayerfulness. The families were built up. One pastor said they were constant and serious in their attendance on public worship, prayerful, righteous, and charitable in the government of their families, and not one of them so far knew were ever guilty of scandal. What a society that would be. Even a judge noted that his court cases were reduced significantly. He said that the spirit of mildness and friendship prevails among the people, that there have been no pleas before the court for these several months past, whereas formerly a great many were brought before it every week. That would be a marvelous society when people knew the living God. And that is the answer to the prayer, Father, hallowed be your name. We want God's name to be hallowed so that it changes our lives, that it changes the culture around us. Imagine that, a culture where there are actually fathers in the household, that people honor life, even those being developed in the womb. People value the wisdom of the elderly and cherish them each day. This kind of hope should help us to bring in this phrase, hallowed be your name, into our prayers every day. We will first examine this phrase by thinking about the name of God and then what it means to pray, hallowed be your name, and then how it changes our lives. First, the name of God. When you read hallowed be your name, you might think of the mere name Jehovah or Elohim. But as you know, the Jewish mind thinks differently than our Western minds, and the idea of name is very unique to them. For as you notice in the stories, there are multiple changes of names. You think of Abram changes the name to Abraham. Sarai changes her name to Sarah. Saul changes the name to Paul. The idea of name in the Jewish mindset is not just an identification. It touches to the very characteristic of the being. Think of back in Exodus chapter 33. After Moses interceded with God on behalf of the people, after the golden calf, God says, Moses, I know your name, and you are found righteous. And then Moses had the audacity to say, God, show me your glory. And so God made an arrangement that he would tuck Moses into the cleft of the rock. And he says, after I tuck you in, I will declare my name to you. And so that's what happened. Moses got turned into put into the cleft of the rock. And then he declared the name. Listen to the name that God declares of himself. He says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the children's children to the third and fourth generation." This is much more than just the name Yahweh or Elohim. This touches the very character of God. And this is the name that we would love to be hallowed when we pray, "Hallowed be your name." We want to know this God. Do you know God as a gracious and merciful God? If someone comes up to you and say, "Tell me how God is merciful," what testimony would you give? What testimony would you be able to give that he keeps steadfast love for thousands? We as God's people need to be ready to give stories that define these characteristics of God. We are supposed to be light and ambassadors for his name. And if you merely say the name Yahweh, you'll be speaking a different language. Try to understand God in the sense of his character and not just in as an identification. Think of God in all that he has done for you. A good place to start in this study might be reviewing the names that he has given about himself throughout the Bible. There is Yahweh, the covenant God. The people of God know God by a specific name. He is personal. You can call upon him by his personal name. Is that marvelous? That the God who made this entire earth when there is nothing knows you by name and you can call upon him by name. That shows intimacy. He is also known as God, Elohim, above everything. He is the creator. He is known by Jehovah Jireh in the Bible. The Lord provides. He has given you your abilities with your hands, with your mouth, with your eyes. He has given you homes and food. He is the provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Many of us have been sick, and he has healed us. Many of us are looking to him to heal. There's Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. The Lord is our peace. He has taken away our sins. He has atoned all our lives for the sake of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. He has given us peace in our homes. He has given us the way of life through the Bible. And he teaches us how to interact with our wives and with our children and with our husbands. He gives us peace if we listen to his voice and his instructions. It says, Jehovah Raha, the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. He takes us beside the still waters. He lies us down in the green grass. Even when our enemies are around us, we have a table full of food, enjoying his pleasure. He is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here. He is present. He's not a God who's far off. He is in the same room with us. He knows our prayers. He knows our hurts. These are names that God has shown himself to his people by. And there are many more titles, like the Ancient of Days. That means he has eternity on his side. We are but a breath. We are days are numbered, but for him, he has infinite amount of days. He is the wonderful counselor. Do you ever go to God for wisdom? His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. He is the Prince of Peace, and his kingdom shall have no end. And these are just titles and names given to him by the Old Testament. We even see that Jesus Christ comes into the picture when it says that the name of Jesus is exalted, so that every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. Do you know this God in a very intimate and personal way that you can say amen to these names? And this is what the name that we want to be hallowed. Hallowed be your name. The phrase hallowed is not a term we use often in our normal society today. Maybe we hear talk about hallowed ground on a battlefield where fallen soldiers have given their life for our freedom. This name hallowed, it comes from the same Greek word as holy or set apart. We're asking God to set his name above all things so that nothing is given the same worth as him and his character. We're asking for his name to be known as holy and that there's no blemish at all. But there's some aspects of Greek that don't come into our English translation very well. This is an imperative. That means it's a command or a request. But it's also an aorist form. Aorist means it's past tense. So the request is asking for something to have happened in, if we were going to translate it very rigidly. The idea in this aorist tense actually means it's urgent. We want it done, and we want it done yesterday. Is it valuable that God's name was glorified so urgently in your mind that you want it done now? Or is that something like some of our tasks where we just put off till tomorrow? That's our devotions where, oh, it's busy. We're too busy today, so we're going to put our Bible off to the side. When we want God's name hallowed in our life, we would run to his scriptures. Open them up and ask, Lord, show me yourself today. This form is in the aorist. It shows us urgency. But it's also in the passive, meaning we're not asking God to actually hallow his name actively. The name is already hallowed. God is not going to change himself or his name in any way in order to fill this request. That means everything that God is and does is already set apart. And we just have to recognize it. So if God is not hallowed, it's nothing in fault with him or what he's doing. It's really what is at fault in our own hearts and mind. Is God's name hallowed in your life? Do you know this God to be a God who heals, who provides, who cares? If someone was to come to you and ask you, tell me a story of God's goodness, do you have one on hand? Now, what does it mean for, what are we praying for in hallowed be your name? The Heidelberg Catechism gives us this answer. We pray that first, God would grant us rightly to know him and sanctify and glorify and praise him for all his works. So when you pray, hallowed be your name, you're asking first that God would show you his glory. You have to know God before you can share him with others. You have to know and know him so well that you are sanctifying him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's like those men back in the Great Awakening. In our day, most of us, we are saying, okay, do we go to church or we go to watch football games? Back then, it's, do I go listen to Charles Wesley or George Whitefield? There is no other option. It is, we must go to hear God and his word. It's not whether do I stay in this bed and feel comfortable for another hour or do I go to church? Do you know God and sanctify him and glorify him and praise him for all his works? And then it says, after we know him and glorify him and sanctify him, that we also may order and direct our lives and thoughts, words, and actions, so that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. If you are going to pray, hallowed be your name, this is a life commitment. This is a covenantal dialogue between you and your covenant God. He is your God and you are his people. By praying, hallowed be your name, you are going to conduct your life in such a way as to hallow the name. You're going to search the scriptures and seek wisdom in it on how to conduct your life at work, in your household, how to raise your children, how to honor the Sabbath day, how to work, how to sleep. What should you put before your eyes? What should you think about? You should be so consumed with this hallowing of God's name in your life that you feel like Jesus. Recently, I corrected a child at Kid Zone. He was struggling over something with a young one. I said, come on over here and let me talk to you. And he walked over and I said, you need to be like Jesus in that situation. You're the oldest. He went over and I didn't have a problem. I talked to him later and he said, Mr. Joel, I felt like Jesus when I was kind to that younger being. That young kid gets this idea better than I do often. Our actions represent this name. When we are baptized in the body of Christ, we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That name was put upon you. And this imagery in Revelation said it's written on your head. You are sealed with the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And your life should be conducted to honor and glorify him. But we must be reminded that this right here is a prayer. This is Jesus telling us how to pray. It's a model of our prayer. So before we get to that point of living this out, we must remember we must change our prayers before we live it out. So do you pray in this way? Do you pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name? I've been in the Christian community long enough when I hear people pray, they often say, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the food. That doesn't quite get to this petition. Yes, we are thankful for the things that God has done, but we're looking for Him to be sanctified. We want to get an idea of how valuable He is, and that's the beauty of this model of prayer. When it says, our Father in heaven, we are kind of putting ourselves on the knee of our Father. We address Him with the adoring Father. But then we put Him in His place of, hallowed be your name. He is mightier than we are, and we are mere slaves. So my challenge to you as you pray, don't put this off to the side. Use this model. Use this model and put God in your place in your heart and mind. I have a couple of examples real quick on how the saints of old talked about God. David said, and you know your slave, O Lord Yahweh. For the sake of your word and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your slave know. When you use this phrase, you are reminding yourself that you are a slave and He is God. And it's a privilege to be able to talk to Him. Solomon, when he was building the temple, he says, O Yahweh, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, keeping covenant and loving kindness to your slaves who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David, my father, that which you have promised him. Indeed, you have promised with your mouth and have fulfilled it by your hand. Here again, the prayers. The prayers is the start of our day, and we are putting God in His place. Hezekiah says, O Yahweh, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God and you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Nehemiah says, I beseech you, O Yahweh, the God of heaven, the great and fearsome God, who keeps the covenant and loving kindness for those who love Him and keep His commandments. This model prayer isn't just for us to say with our mouth. It is to reach down into our hearts and minds. And it is to put God on His throne. So often our prayers turns into a list that we give to Santa Claus or a list that we give to anybody we want to do for us. But this prayer is a covenant dialogue. We say first, God, you are our God. And then we live like it. Use this prayer to glorify Him in your life. Use this prayer to teach your children to honor God in every area of life. We need men and women to stand up in the pulpit and on the street corner and in their work and in the store for the name of God. We need people to show loving kindness to others so that others can catch this wonderful glimpse of the God we serve. And then think about what could be the result. We opened up by thinking of the Great Awakening. That is just one story of many of how God transformed societies. Jonah went to Nineveh and changed an entire city. Daniel records of how King Nebuchadnezzar looked over his vast kingdom and thought he created a big, wonderful kingdom. And God humbled him by turning his mind as a beast. And all he could say at the end was, God is worthy of praise. Jesus took 11 apostles in one room and made this great kingdom expand throughout the earth. He took a persecutor of the church, Saul, changed his name Paul, and the gospel went to many kingdoms. He used a lightning storm in the life of Martin Luther, who was once a lawyer, and he committed his life and nailed those 95 theses on the church door and started the Reformation. There were men like William Tyndale that gave his life to translating the Word of God, even in opposition to the government, that he had to be on run. He ran from house to house with his books just to find a quiet time to translate the Word of God in English. We need men and women to catch the idea of hallowed be your name, pray it, and then live it out in their daily lives. Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do ask that your name will be hallowed. Lord, sanctify your name in our hearts and minds. Help us to understand your greatness and how lowly we are. Lord, help us to show your great name to our children. Help us to share your great name to this community around us. As we have the mission team come this summer, as we have Vacation Bible School, as we go to our businesses, may we hallow your name so much in our lives that you can hallow your name in the lives of the we touch. Lord, we thank you for being our God. We thank you for hearing our cries in our closets. Lord, we even thank you for knowing all that we need, even before we ask. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please turn.